to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Ah, we're almost through. I can't believe it. The month of August, 2026. And we are getting ready to enter into the fall or the autumn of the year. And I am looking forward to it. I really am. I am looking forward to cooler days. And it's going to be 90 degrees again today. But I know some of you are going into the triple digits again. So I bless you in the name of the Lord. On days when joy's not easy to find, search for a joy verse in the Bible. Yeah, if you got a concordance in your Bible, you can just go back there and look up joy verses. Connecting with the source of our joy will brighten your day. One of the verses I go to all the time, and you know it, Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence, you will know the pathway of life for me, Lord God, and in your presence is fullness of life. I always kind of make it directed to him instead of talking about him. Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then there's that wonderful Nehemiah 8:10, eat the fat, drink the sweet, do not grieve. Oh, share with others. I forgot that part. Share with others. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God for these verses. Oh, I'm just overwhelmed and absolutely ecstatic and exuberant over God's wonderful, watchful heart over us and that he provided this Bible for us. I hope you're in it every day. I'm going to encourage you more and more on these next two programs today and tomorrow. Oh, that you get into the Word of God and get to know Holy Spirit. He's your best friend. And so I want you to know that. Oh, let's do the Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. Oh, praise God for it. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's Jesus. The whole Bible is centered on Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So remember that. The Bible isn't just something you place on your coffee table during the week and just hold it in your hand when you go to church, making others believe that you're reading the Bible every day. Let's get serious about that. Yes. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And you can hear Call to Freedom on KLTT, that's 670 on your radio dial, at 9 o'clock at night, 2:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. And then on KLDC, which is 1220, you can hear us at 11 o'clock in the morning. So those are great times. I know that a lot of people, a lot of you in the other states do not hear us any longer, and you can go to freedomstreet.org and listen to those radio shows. Go to resources, click on radio shows, and hear all those radio shows. Rachel puts them up every day for me, and we put titles on them, and you can know that you are up to date with the radio programs. I miss you, but I love you, and I know you are there, and I am there for you. I really am. So if you do have a prayer request or even a praise report, you can email me at barbara@freedomstreet.org or email Kimberly at kimberly@freedomstreet.org, lowercase one word dot org. And I'm so glad that you joined me today. You are so precious to me. Oh, I love your letters. I love your notes. I look forward to them all the time. I want to talk to you about China for a few moments. China is a real threat to the U.S., as is Russia. And not because I know that they're going to be huge armies coming into with the Muslims into Israel during the tribulation, surrounding Israel, millions of soldiers. But I want you to know that the Chinese come here to be educated and learn all they can about our ways. They've been doing that for years, folks. And then they go back to China and copy everything we have done. They're spies, literally spies. They have no moral standards. So this isn't dishonesty to them or things that are negative reports. Huh? They do this out of conscience. They do not have a conscience. And they even send over pregnant women who give birth here so they can carry on citizenship and enjoy all the benefits of being an American. And now they have the ability to have more and do more because they have the means to do it. They have become a huge, huge economic opposition to the United States. They have robots now. I was just watching this weekend. I hate to look at them, but they have robots now that can jump high. They can win races. They even exceed all of the Olympic racers by more than I have no idea. They eventually, I believe, eventually China will have a huge army of robots. So we're looking into some of the Marvel movies and into some of the futuristic things that we see fantasy on TV and in the movies. They are on the forefront of AI, and it's very concerning. Personally, and I know a lot of you are grateful that they're going into and discovering new techniques and new things that will keep them in the race with China. Personally, I'm grateful that people are protesting having data centers taking over their towns, draining electricity and taking water. For what are they doing this? I believe that people are most fearful, what they're most fearful about is that they don't know why these centers are coming in and dominating the landscape. They're huge, folks. They just take on acres and acres and acres. Why are they doing this? Why can't they have smaller data centers? That's something that I don't know. As a citizen of the United States, I'm asking these questions. What information is being collected? Is this Big Brother? We know our cell phones have abundant information for organizations that collect data. And we also see drones playing a large part in the war in the Ukraine. And I just was watching a show the other day about the drone coming in. I mean, actually coming in on a person. They are zeroed in on a person who ducks into a building, and the whole building goes up when this drone, and it's only the size maybe of a big, huge tractor. And they come in and destroy the whole building. They are swift, destructive, very accurate, and they kill where they land. And this is not meant to make you scared, to get you scared or fearful, because we know that God has not given you that spirit of fear, but of power in Jesus Christ and love and a pure mind and a strong mind. But we need to be aware of the fulfilling of Scripture. Revelation 9, verse 3, I looked this up this last weekend, tells us there is coming a day when this chapter will be played out. The ninth chapter of Revelation will be played out in real time. But for a time before, God is giving us a taste of what will happen. I believe He really is, by some of the things that are happening. Let's look at this in part as a metaphor, not a real not physically real, but something that is happening in our minds. I, John, and this is from Revelation 9, verse 3. I, John, saw a star that fell from heaven to earth. We know that Satan fell from heaven to earth. Jesus saw it in Luke 10. And he was handed the key to the shaft leading down to the pit of the deep. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and a blanket of smoke began to rise out of it. So we know here, as a metaphor, that when we serve the kingdom of darkness, there is darkness. When we serve Satan, and before I've told you, there's only two choices. There's either the kingdom of light or there's the kingdom of darkness. You can't serve anything else. Kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And so we see when he opens the shaft to this darkness, I mean, it is smoke like a giant furnace. I can't even imagine how people are really living in the dregs of evil, how their lives are. They're trying to find something new every day, something new every day and exciting to keep them going, or pills or drugs. Or you were just hearing about Precious Hayden Panettiere. I'm sorry, that's a strange name, Panettiere. And she was such a great actress. I loved her in the Titans movie. And he or she died of an overdose of drugs. I mean, they can't get enough drugs. They just can't get enough when they are realizing that they're not serving the God of all creation. It goes on to say in Revelation 9:3, the sun and the atmosphere were darkened with the smoke rising from the shaft. That means when you see this world, it is an evil world. I know there are people rising up. There's a revival going on. That's beautiful. But this world is becoming more evil, just like God saw right before the flood. He saw the world was becoming more evil. God is going to bring judgment on this earth one of these days, folks. In verse 3, out of the smoke appeared locusts swarming onto the earth, and they were given authority. Now, this is metaphor for the drones we see. I really believe that. We're given authority like the scorpions to inflict pain. Their wings made a sound like the noise of horses and chariots rushing into battle. And that's what a drone sounds like when he's getting to his target. I mean, it's loud. And they had tails and stingers like scorpions. Now, when you read a book by Hal Lindsey, The Late Great Planet Earth, he is talking about maybe these scorpions, these huge creatures that come out from the earth are helicopters in the last days. Well, we've taken something that has replaced helicopters with their danger and their philosophy and all of the things that are happening. They had tails and stingers like scorpions. When it hits a target, it's going to explode. Now, I know that this will occur during the tribulation. I know that. And after the church is raptured, so if you know Jesus Christ, you have that wonderful knowledge and freedom and assurance that you're going to be with God. But it is a warning that the Word of God is truthful and very relevant. This was written 2,000 years ago by John, and yet we see things happening that are going to be just like his description. I can't imagine how he described that. I believe China is a player in the last day events, and you probably realize that too when you're reading Ezekiel 38, Russia and China and the Muslim countries. As I said before, that the Chinese come here to be educated and learn all they can about our ways, to spy. And then they go back to China and copy everything that we've done. There are more Rolls Royces sold to Chinese millionaires than any other country in the world. Did you know that? Yep. Our deficit with China is enormous, and paying down the deficit is not a priority for this administration. I wish it were, but it's not. God help us. They think, China thinks, and Russia thinks, and the anti-God countries think, they have us over a barrel. But they don't know our God. They don't know our God, our one and only God, folks. Our God that we praise and we worship and we go to church and we talk about. And this country was formed by the one and only God and the obedience of wonderful godly men. Oh, Father, only by your strength and power can this country be turned around. So I'm asking you to bring an end to this insanity. And soon, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Revelation 22:20, I am coming quickly. Now, you know, days and months and weeks are not the same as they are with us, because time is not an important thing to God. He doesn't have a time calendar, except he's going to get this done by the Word of God. The Word of God is going to bring the events closer and closer. We are waiting for that trumpet sound, Lord Jesus. May we be waiting, watching, and praying for your soon appearance. Friend, I believe the rapture is so soon that if there's someone out there that you have a grudge against, or someone you need to tell about Jesus and give them the salvation message, I hope that you will do it soon. It's time to get our lives straightened out and living for Jesus. I hope you sense the urgency and the need to get right with God. Everything is on the up and up with you and God. You're on the same page. That's what I desire for you every day as you get into the Word, that you are one with Him. Praise the Lord. And here's some good news. Our verse for the week. I love this. Oh, this is the last prayer of King David. We can differentiate between First Chronicles and Second Chronicles. First Chronicles covers King David's reign. Second Chronicles is beginning and covering King Solomon's reign and all the kings of Judah. That's real simple, but it's easy to understand. Here's First Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the dominion and the kingdom, O Lord. You exalt yourself as head over all. Now here's David, king of Israel, the greatest king that ever has ruled over Israel and also in the countries around that known world. And he says here, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. He was humbling himself and saying, Father, you're great. Father, you're powerful. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the victory, even though David saw many, many victories, overwhelming victories against the enemy. And yours is the majesty, O Lord. I hope you can grasp hold of that today. First Chronicles 29, verse 11. And in the Living, it says, then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Oh, I can't imagine Jerusalem that day. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, praise the Lord. I want to go into 1 John. We're all through John in our Word Power for Every Hour, but I have to stay there just for a while. 1 John 1, we know that God is love. We know that God is light, and there is no darkness in him. That's from the book of John, the first chapter. And we proclaim you here in John 1:1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. So there's love and there's light. And now there's life. God is all of these. And one who is life itself was revealed to us. John is so precious here. The term life here is not limited to physical existence, but refers to eternal spiritual life, the kind of life that comes from God as made manifest in Jesus. And that's Zoe life. In the Greek, Zoe, Z-O-E, literally translates to life. But it carries a broader sense than mere biological existence. It refers to all forms of life, vitality, and animation. And in a biblical context, it often signifies eternal or divine life that comes from God and is shared with humanity through Christ. Now, we know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, that we have an immediate entrance into eternal life. That when we die, we're going to go to heaven. And we don't know when we're going to die. But we know that when we die, we will be with him. So unlike bios, which is B-I-O-S, and you can see that that's familiar to you, which denotes physical or biological life, Zoe emphasizes a full, active, and spiritually enriched life by faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Only the word of life imparts true life. Seeking eternal life apart from him is futile. We are writing these things, John says, so that you may fully share in our joy. I'm so grateful he said that, because that joy is so important. In his presence is fullness of joy. You don't know joy until you know Jesus Christ. In the fifth verse of 1 John 1, this is the message we heard from Jesus, and now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth, because, wow, we do sin. But if we confess our sins, see, there's always an out with God. He is so precious and loving that when we do sin, if we confess our sins, get that pride out of there. Just humble yourself and confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. I'll tell you, friend, I don't know when I'm going to make a stupid thing happen or make a really dumb mistake or even a sin. And I realize that after I talk to this person or after even a person in a grocery store or something, and I said something really offhandedly, I go back home and I say, oh, Father God, forgive me. That was wrong. I should not have done that. Well, we can go right to God and say, oh, Father God, touch the heart of that one I talked to and let him allow your love to surround him today. Verse 10 of 1 John 1 says, if we claim we have not sinned, because we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So he understands that we're fallible. He understands that we have a physical body that and a mind that always wants to do right and it does wrong. So he knows that. And that's why he gave John 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. John makes it very plain in detailing what is sin and what is not sin. Continuing to live in sin and saying we have fellowship with God is indicative that we are in spiritual darkness. We don't need to grovel and crawl over a bed of hot coals to get to God and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Leave it at the foot of the cross when you confess your sin. Don't go on thinking about it. God has forgiven you and he's forgotten it. He has. He's forgiven you and it's gone in Jesus' name. So remember that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you were being raised in your family and you did something stupid or wrong, you endured the punishment. In those days, it was spankings. It isn't anymore. You knew that your dad would not throw you out of the house and when you were young. Now, when you're 20, 25, and you do something really stupid or sinful, your father may say, I don't want to see your face. Get out of this house and go find your own apartment. No, I'm not going to say that to you. Oh, your heavenly Father who loves you will not throw you out of the family of God when you do something stupid. All that you do when you realize you've sinned is confess. It's just like I was just saying, confess your sins. And verse 10 of 1 John 1 tells us, if you have that prideful attitude, that self-righteous attitude, and say that you did nothing wrong, you didn't sin, John says you're a liar. That's pretty clear and strong language. But as we confess, our Father God forgives us. That's a promise. Be humble and sincere in your confessions, folks. He loves you, and he wants a sincere and humble heart. Now, 1 John 2 tells us in the first part of chapter 2 that John is writing and explaining Jesus' sacrifice for us and how he's now interceding for us before the Father. And this is how we know daily by experience that we have come to know him, to understand him and be more deeply acquainted with him if we keep it focused on his word and learn from his word how much he loves us. Some people are looking for outward signs to lead them. They put out, or even it used to be like, God, you need to find a parking place for me. And he does. Today, there was a great parking place. But we don't make that the focus of God answering our prayers. And people put out fleeces like Gideon did in Judges 6. And sometimes God will allow a fleece for an immature Christian. But it's not his perfect will for you to be led like this. Be careful that you don't get fleeced by the devil. He can maneuver around your circumstances, boy. And if you don't have those things covered, those bases covered, he can come right in. Oh, keep your body and your mind and your spirit covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, the spirit man has a voice. The spirit in you has a voice. And just as a physical man has a voice, the voice of the body is your feelings. The voice of the soul is reason. You want to think everything out logically. The voice of the Spirit is your conscience. It's a still, small voice. That's the voice of Holy Spirit. And you can find Jesus talking about Holy Spirit in John 14 and 16. He promised that when he left, Holy Spirit would come. And he is your comforter, your counselor, your helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. He is the helper Jesus promised to every believer after he rose from the dead when he ascended to the Father. When Holy Spirit speaks, it's more authoritative. He's more authoritative. You know when he's speaking. It might be so loud that you will think someone near you said it. And when God called Samuel when he was a young boy, he thought it was Eli in 1 Samuel. Now, when Holy Spirit directs you, it will always be in line with the Word of God. If it does not line up with the Word of God, then it is not the Spirit of God. And it always tells you the truth, always tells you the truth, and always judge what you hear. Ask yourself, does it line up with the Word of God? This weekend, I just want to give you a story about the spirits of discernment that God, Holy Spirit gives you and is in your spirit to discern between evil and truth. This weekend, Kimberly suggested that I call Xfinity, one of the companies that give us our internet and mobile phones, because she'd gotten a cautionary reply on her phone to call in Xfinity, and I pay the bills. So I was a bit reticent about communicating with them because I was up to date on all my payments and had just written an article about the scammers in the September newsletter. So I was a little leery of what was going to come. But I called and got a person who was speaking broken English. I'm getting used to that. He directed me to a supervisor when I asked for, and all that I asked him was to give me an update on the account, and they couldn't. All they did was say, we need more information. And I told him, I've been with you for years. You already know all the information. I repeated myself, and he kept at me for personal. And then I realized Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I continued to use cautionary measure. And this guy hung up. Don't give people any information over the phone when your spirit questions that call. Don't do it. Holy Spirit will warn you. Make God's word your final authority. Don't go after voices that are the loudest, but that voice that is authoritative, as I was missing the pronunciation of that word before. He is authoritative. And even in his still small voice, he can tell you what's right and what's wrong. Oh, I hope you're getting to know your best friend, Holy Spirit. I got more to tell you about 1 John tomorrow. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.